Let me know if you can't hear me in the back. I know it's kind of hard to hear with all the stuff going on downstairs. My sobriety date is 9/15 of 2013, so God willing, in September, in a couple of weeks, I'll have 2 years in this program. Woo. So, God, it's a long time. And just last month, July, I celebrated 2 years with my boyfriend who's also in this program. So after saying that, I did not wait. I did not wait. I wish I had, but I don't regret the relationship that I have with my boyfriend for anything. And he's got about 3 years in the program, 3.5 actually. And I wish I could have done it different. I wish I could have taken some time to acquire a healthy relationship with myself, which my sponsors over the years have taught me to have before I decided to jump the gun into the relationship thing. But I know how to do it now. I know what I would have liked to done, but I can tell you what I did do, what worked for me, what did not work, and there's a lot of both. So I didn't know how to have a healthy relationship with anyone, especially in the romantic realm. You know, I was selfish, just completely selfish. I had a long-term boyfriend, like, before I got sober. Sickest relationship, like, that you will ever hear about. It was just absolutely terrible. I was a steamroller. Didn't care about his feelings. Didn't care about what he wanted. And, you know, after we broke up, drinking, like, took off, you know. Started sleeping around. Pursuing romantic relationships, but for the life of me, I could not make anything work because of who I was, you know, because of my disease. People did not want long-term things with me, you know, like, I didn't want long-term things, but I thought I did, you know, but I didn't know what a healthy relationship, romantic or non-romantic, was. I had no idea because I didn't have any of that growing up. You know, I come from an alcoholic, drug-addicted family, a family riddled with divorce, with death, with life, you know, with all the stuff that happens in life. And before the program, I had no idea how to behave, how to treat other people, especially in a relationship. So I start dating this guy. He's really hot. This is my boyfriend. You've probably seen him around the conference. He was funny. He was hot. I was lonely. I had no sense of self. I needed someone to give me my sense of self. I needed a man to make me feel okay just existing. And that's how it was for me first in sobriety, which is why I wish I had waited, but I didn't, and that's okay. He started off my higher power, you know, the boyfriend, the relationship. I was like, oh, he's like over a year sober. He knows all this stuff. He knows everything. We like went to the meetings together. Eventually I learned that I needed to go to my own meetings and he needed to go to his own meetings. But at first he was my higher power, you know. He taught me a lot about the program. And that's okay, you know, that worked for me at the time. Everything was like pink cloud for like those first 6-7 months. You know, then I started working on the fourth step and the fifth step and all the steps, and resentments came out, you know. Resentments and crazy came out a little bit more, because those, like my first couple of steps, I was just so lost, you know. I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't really have much opinion on anything because I was just trying to learn how to live without alcohol, how to live consciously, like how to remember things. I didn't know how to like remember my weekends, and like it was weird living not in a blackout, because like I think one of the speakers said it yesterday. It was like, yeah, Honora, she said consciousness was my main trigger. I completely identified with that. So I just survived. I had this relationship. I like kind of started to try to have relationships with other women, like make friends and start working the program. But you know, this relationship was my life. It was my whole life at the beginning of the program. Eventually pink cloud went away. The relationship got hard. I got difficult. I got jealous. And he didn't like that, you know. What guy likes a suspicious, jealous girlfriend, you know, it happens. And I started working the steps, and I started realizing, hey, like, I want to have a life outside of my relationship. I can't depend on this one person for all of my happiness. And all of my eggs were in my boyfriend's basket, you know. I depended on him. I still depended on him to, like, feel okay. I was learning to, like, wean myself off of that and start to be okay by myself, but that took at least a year. At least a year for me to learn how to do that. I didn't know where to find my sense of self without men, because men were, like, one of my main things that I used alcoholically. Men were, like, a go-to because they made me feel good, you know? Like, the attention, it made me feel good. And in sobriety, you know, I don't search for men's attention anymore, you know? I don't have to have that. Like, I can have women friends instead of just guy friends who don't really want to be friends, you know? Yeah, had a lot of those experiences. My sponsor taught me that I don't have to go to all my meetings with my boyfriend. She taught me how to have healthy relationships with women and not just view them as competition. Because that's how I viewed you guys, you know. Like, I looked at all the beautiful women in the rooms, and I was like, oh, God, I need to cling on to my boyfriend because there's all these women, you know. Oh, shit, all these women. Women scared me, you know. Like, it was way easier to have relationships with men for me, like, even though they weren't healthy, than to have with women. And I was constantly, like, in this place of fear, like, oh, my boyfriend, like, he's looking at all these women, or these women are looking at him, and I want to control everything, and it's terrible. And it was so alcoholic and so crazy and so silly, like, now that I'm looking back on it. Because, like, I don't view women as, I mean, I have, like, relapses in that train of thought where I, like, worry about my guy and other girls. But it's like, not my place, you know. I'm not in control of that. He's going to do what he's going to do. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I don't have to be the control in the relationship anymore. And that was one of the main things that I had to learn, was that I can't constantly be, like, this master manipulator, getting angry or, like, trying to be happy at the right times, like, manipulating not only his emotions but also mine, because I knew how to piss him off. Like, I knew how to do things to, like, make him act the way that I wanted to, or, I don't know, it just gave me a sense of power, like, having, I thought I had all this power and control in the relationship. And today, like, I've given that over to my higher power. I've given the relationship over, the future of the relationship over. My parents are going through, like, a nasty divorce right now, and that's been hard. You know, I'm 21 years old. My parents are getting divorced. It's both of their second divorces, and it's, like, transferred all this fear onto me and my relationship and sobriety. Like, oh, God, like, my parents can't make their marriages work. I'm not going to be able to make a relationship work. That kind of fear has, like, really sat in on my relationship for the past couple of months. And I have no control over that. That's something else that I had to give to my higher power. Whether it works out or not, like, I have no control over what's going to happen tomorrow or a year from now or 5 years from now. All I can control is, like, myself, like, working the best program that I can, being the best woman I can in this relationship, not trying to exercise constant control, constant fear in the relationship. Because I, like, used my fear. I'd be like, oh, I'm scared you're going to break my heart. And we went through hard times. When I was dealing with my hard shit, you know, we went through hard times, and it left a lot of room for lack of trust and a lot of fear. And lack of trust, lack of communication, lack of honesty, those are all killers. Like, those are all deal breakers in a relationship, and we've, like, fought each one of those, you know. All I can do is have integrity within myself. Like, I can't control what my guy's gonna do on the side, you know, like, what he's gonna do behind my back, or, and all the phone shit, like, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, that shit kills me. Like, it kills me because I get obsessed with it, and I'm like, what's he doing on it? Like, who's he talking to? Like, it makes me crazy, and it hurts my program, and it hurts me, and it hurts our relationship, because, like, I have no control over it, and all I can do is make sure, you know, I'm doing the right thing. Like, I'm doing the next right thing every single day in every single one of my relationships, and especially my romantic one. You know, we just moved in together in May, so both just graduated college, and life's getting real, you know. There's, like, marriage talk, and that's scary for me because I'm 21 years old and I don't want to get married anytime soon. And that's okay, and he knows that. Like, we're blatantly honest between one another about what we want. That's, like, one of the main things that's important for me is just being transparent. He knows when I'm ready or not ready for something. Also in the bedroom, that kind of stuff applies too. And I know he's transparent. He's honest with me about what he wants. I didn't have that prior to sobriety. All my relationships were riddled with lies, manipulation, and just a lot of ugliness. You know, I was not a pretty person. I didn't know how to treat a person nicely or to put somebody else, like, before myself. Because I do have to do that. I have to keep myself first on some levels, but I also have to put somebody else first. And, you know, that's a hard thing for me to learn as an alcoholic. I think about me, you know, self is, like, the main part of our disease, I think. And it sometimes it's hard. It's hard to put another person first, but I do in our relationship. Like, when I need to, I put him first. And, you know, when I need to put me first, I put me first. That's something the program's given me. And talking to other women about their relationships, I'm really excited to hear about this one over here and her marriage and how she's made that work. Just got a blank spot. Relationships are hard. I rely so much upon the women before me and their experiences. Because, like, anytime I have an issue in my relationship, I talk to a friend like Rose's. I talk to Casey. I talk to my sponsor primarily. And they help me because, like, you know, they've had successful relationships. They've also had not successful relationships, which we can also learn from, you know, just as much or more than the successful ones. So I'm happy to be sober. I'm happy to be able to have a relationship with a wonderful, sober man. I'm happy to have relationships with other women and to not be in a constant place of fear and less than and just unhappiness all the time. Like, I'm so happy with my relationships today. They still have a lot of, like, room where I need to work, especially with myself. But I'm really happy that sobriety has given me the ability to have relationships, like, healthy relationships. So I'm excited to hear our next panelist, and I'm going to pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. Our next panelist is Sarah from Prescott.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Okay, I have to set a timer because otherwise I'll drive myself crazy. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right, so I'm Sarah and I'm an alcoholic.
I'm Sarah.
I just want to qualify real quickly. I'm 18. Or I'm not 18. I got sober when I was 18. I'm 20, and I've been sober for 2 years. And I've been in a relationship for not a year yet, but we're getting close. So obviously my experience was different than hers. I waited. And I think, like, my main part was waiting, like, wasn't for me. It was more because I saw her and she had a month sober and I had 6 months sober. And we'll just get out right now. I'm gay, obviously. But I don't know, like, I've had a lot of toxic relationships. None have lasted more than a month. It was pretty much like, hey, you're gonna fulfill my needs, and I'll fulfill, like, I'll take care of you for the month, but, like, you're gonna mainly fulfill my needs, and, like, you're basically gonna be my mom, because that's just how, like, my relationships were. I came in young. I didn't know how to take care of myself. I, like, really am just now learning how to take care of myself. So, like, that's pretty much, like, what my relationship pattern was. It was, like, this sick, toxic codependency that couldn't get over a month. And through the program, like, that's completely changed. I have an amazing girlfriend today who I'm just, like, really grateful to be with, you know, and like, there's, like, spunk and fire, and every single time she walks into a room, I think that she's beautiful. And every single time that, like, another girl walks into the room, like, I don't look, you know, and, like, that's not me. That's never been me, and I don't know how it's me now. I guess it's God. Because, like, really my experience around it is I, like, really worked on myself. You know, like, when I came into the program, it wasn't about, like, a girl. It wasn't about, like, getting friends. It was about, like, I need to do this or, like, I'm going to die. You know, like, I came in here, like, homeless off the street, and, like, that's all that I wanted to do. And, like, with them working on myself and, like, being, like, a really good place where it wasn't about the girls anymore, because once I got sober, it wasn't just about being sober anymore, obviously, you know, like, I went straight to the girls, you know, like, that they're my main source of problem. I just want everybody to validate me. Like, I don't feel loved. I don't feel accepted. But, like, when I find a girl, like, they're always doing that for me. So, like, that's why I run through them fast, is because after that month, like, the cloud, the pink cloud kind of goes away, and I'm, like, on to my next. So, like, that's just, like, I don't know. Like, I came in here, and I worked on me. You know, it wasn't about a girl. It wasn't about anybody else. Like, I seriously, like, dug down into this program, and I did me. And, like, when I was, like, at my most spiritually fit in my program, she walked in. You know, and, like, I can only tell you, like, that was God. Like, that's not me. Because I am, like, such a control freak. I, like, will try to force things to be together. You know, and, like, that wasn't me. She didn't walk in, and I was like, oh, there's my next girlfriend, you know, like, that's not how it was. Like, she walked in, and I was like, looked her up and down, and I was like, whatever, you know, and, like, through, like, developing the relationship, it just came, you know. It wasn't, like, me trying to fit puzzle pieces together that didn't belong. It just is, and, like, that's, like, something that I pride myself on my relationship today, is it just is. I don't try to, like, get up all in her business. Like, if she wants to do, like, I'm not in a relationship to hold her down. Like, I'm in a relationship to, like, grow together and, like, build her up. So if she wants to go travel all over the world like she does, like, I'm gonna let her, even if I don't want to go to those places. You know, like, that's what I found, like, my main sources is like not, I don't know, like, I don't know what the word for it is. Like, not toxic, I guess, you know, like, not those codependent relationships. I don't need to hold somebody hostage anymore today, just so that I feel okay. You know, like, I let her be, and, like, communication is, like, a huge part. When something's bothering me, I tell her right away. Maybe not right away. Maybe, like, a day later. But, like, I eventually talk to her about it, you know, like, I don't sit in it anymore, and I don't, like, grow those resentments. You know, and when she needs to talk to me, like, I sit there and I listen, and, like, whatever I need to do to change, like, I change. You know, and, like, trust is a little bit harder for me, because I'm so used to just people running in and out of my life. There's not that many, like, stable people. There's not that many people that have stayed with me. So, like, it's cool, like, when I have that fear of, like, I think that you're cheating on me, or I think that you're just going to run away, or I feel like you don't want to be with me anymore. She sits there. She tells me that I'm an idiot. She says, like, I'm not going anywhere. When I tell her that I don't trust her, she says, well, I'm going to prove it to you. You know, like, that's, like, how my relationship looks today. It's not toxic. It's healthy. And, like, we, like, really just try to build each other up. And, like, my sponsor saves my ass a lot, because I like to get in the place where I'm always right. And where I didn't do anything wrong. And, like, obviously I talk to her, and she redirects me, you know, and I take my sponsor's suggestion. But, like, I don't know, like, I can honestly say that, like, just, like, working the steps and, like, working my program has, like, made my relationship a lot better. And, like, one thing that I don't do is I don't tell her to call her sponsor. I don't take her inventory. We don't go to meetings together. Like, our programs are completely separate. I don't even ask her about it. You know, because, like, I trust that she can, like, have the ability to work her own. Like, I don't need to mommy her, and she doesn't need to mommy me. You know, like, that's just, like, not how it is today. And, I don't know, like, I think that it's just, like, a really cool thing, because, like, this is my longest relationship, obviously, and I'm, like, head over heels, obviously, but I think the coolest part is that if it doesn't work out, like, I'm gonna be okay. You know, which is, like, not something that I'm gunning for. Like, I really want it to last, but, like, I know that if it doesn't, like, I'm gonna be okay. Because my sobriety and my life isn't contingent upon another person today. It's completely, like, on what I, like, me, you know? And, like, that sounds selfish, but it's, like, I want to, like, I have amazing things that I want to do with my life. Like, I'm 20 years old, like, my life has just started, you know? And it took me a while to get here through all the fears and everything, but I feel at this moment in time, like, the life, like, life is just there, you know? And, like, I'm going to eat up as much as I can right now, because when I get older, like, I don't want to be having regrets. You know, like, that's why I work my program. That's why, like, I do all these things. But I think that's pretty much all I have is, like, communicate. Like, don't be somebody's anchor. And, like, don't hold people hostage anymore. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sarah. And our next panelist is Pam from Mesa.
Hi, Pam.
I'm Pam. I'm an alcoholic.
Pam!
My sobriety date is 7/31 of 1993.
Yeah.
And can't believe it's been 22 years. I'm just sitting here thinking about that. But, you know, I was in between you two guys, I think, and what my experience was. But I must have been a lot sicker than the other two panelists, because my sponsor told me I wasn't relationship material for a long time. And she was right. You know, when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I came in out of a gift of desperation. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know up from down. I was really sick. And I went and talked to this woman who became my sponsor. I came in when I was 32 and she was 19 years old. So I'm thinking, what does she know about relationships? What does she know about life? She knew a lot. Everything she told me came out of the big book. You know, and one of the things that we always talked about was, you know, there's no straight answer that everybody has to follow about relationships in here. There's no golden rule. There's no have-tos. There's suggestions. But those suggestions, I was always reminded, are from people who have had the experience already and said, you know what, I'm going to share with you. Here's what could happen. Here's what I've seen. And, you know, let me know. And, you know, I'm really grateful for her doing that. I'm really grateful for her taking it out of the book. You know, I just want to quickly refer to, there's a saying in our relationship, and she always says to me, do you want to be a page 52, or do you want to be a page 93, or 83 rather? And 52 tells me that I have trouble with personal relationships, I can't control my emotional nature, I'm full of fear, I can't make a living, I'm unhappy, I feel like I'm useless, and I can't be a real help to other people. Well, that's who I was when I got here. That doesn't sound like relationship material. I mean, that's what she would do. She'd take out the book and say, what do you think about that? I'll tell you that I did not get married in the program, and I dated a little while, but I didn't get married till I was almost 40. And I came in at 32. So I spent 8 years getting really busy finding out who I was. I had to get in the steps. My sponsor says, you know, the first relationship you're going to have in this program is with a higher power. That's how I learned to have a relationship. She said, what you do in that relationship, you give it time, you give it attention, you communicate, you make regular time, it's sacred, it's important, it's a value, you know, and I really meant a lot to me. We talked a lot about doing our steps. You know, it says in here that I don't really get my sanity back until step 10, so I don't know who I would be before step 10 that I would get into a relationship. So I needed to go through all the steps in order, and I needed to have that relationship with a higher power, because what for me ultimately came about was my relationship, the one that's going to last, it's been 14 years, is God-centered, and for us, it's Alcoholics Anonymous-centered. I agree. I went to my own meetings. I had my own sponsor. I had my own peeps. You know, I had my own sponsees. I did my own service work. But we eventually met each other. We had to sit down and talk about what's the most important thing that happens. And we made agreements like, I will never tell you don't go to a meeting. I will never tell you you can't go meet your sponsee. I need you to be here to do this for me. There were certain things we would never ask each other to do. My husband likes to say that I make more nine-step amends than any of his friends, girlfriends, or wives. But you know what? I can't live today with that feeling. And, you know, I look at this man and I think, wow, I know him. I was friends for 6 years with him before we ever dated each other. I will also tell you something I don't tell a lot of my sponsees, but
We were friends for 6 years, and then we moved in together, like, after our first date. I never left. Never left. Moved my stuff in, and I was in. So we were together. But I really feel like we had a solid foundation. You know, we each had our own sponsors. I think it's important to have a sponsor. It's important to have people in your life that will be real with you, that will say, you know what, this doesn't sound right. And my sponsor knew my MO. She knew that I usually would pick up, go on a date, and move in. Well, this time I waited 6 years and I was sober a little while, but I knew about this person. I knew who he was inside the rooms and outside the rooms, and he knew me inside and outside the rooms. Another thing I think is really, really important is my husband and I don't know each other drinking or using at all. So we made what some people think is a little controversial, but I it's a plan in case of relapse. This is what I want as a sane and sober person if I relapse. This is who I want to know. I need to know from you what you need. You know, he's never seen me. He has no idea what I'll burn through. You know, I drank and also used meth, and I'll be gone with all your money. And so, you know, we did that. And I think it's important, that communication with each other. You know, I've changed a lot from when I first got here. I'm a very different, I'm 53 years old. I grew up in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I spent a lot of time with young people, with you guys in AA, because my sponsor was in young people. But I mean, I was emotionally an 18 and a 21 year old at 32 years old. I didn't know how to live life. I didn't know how to make right decisions. I really didn't. And I was afraid I was going to drink if I didn't have that kind of guidance from somebody. So I allowed that to direct how I operated in relationships. Before I met my husband, I mean, I did the same things. You know, there was these really cute guys, and we'd hang out in a big group together, and we'd all go out and do things together and go to meetings. But you know what I'd find out? I really like you, but I don't want you for a boyfriend. You know? You'd make a lousy boyfriend. No. I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't got a chance to spend time with you. One of my best friends in early recovery was a guy, and he told me one time when I had my heart broken about how men see breakups, and I learned from him as a male friend so much about relationships, and this was somebody I would have never expected to learn that from. It was like on the outside, there was no way. So, you know, it's important to hear both from men and women, you know? And if you have friends in the program that are guys, ask them questions. I'm amazed sometimes by some of this stuff. I mean, I used to think that the guys didn't want relationships. They're as afraid of relationships as we are. They're afraid of being hurt, you know? But it's important to remember that, for me, that my recovery has to come first. My sponsor shared this, and I shared this with all the women I work with. Anything I put before my recovery will go away. Period. It will go away. It's been proven to me time and time again. And, you know, things like, don't let the things that AA gave you take you away from AA. You know, that's given you these really great people in your life. Don't allow that relationship to walk out the door. You know, the two things I was always taught, romances and finances, that'll get me in the most trouble. I don't think there's a hard or fast rule, but I'll be honest with you guys. I don't think having a relationship in early recovery is a good idea. I don't. It's not been my experience. I think you need to get to know people and yourself. Hang out in a group. Like, this is great. Fellowship. You're going to need your family, your fellowship family. You know, if you're in a home group or you're hanging out in the same group and you're dating somebody, how hard is it to go back to those meetings and hang out with those people, because now you got the friendships? So these are really tough decisions to make, and so you need to have sponsors and people in your life that are going to be honest with you. And then if you do decide, because some people come in relationships, so what do I do if I have a relationship already? Have a sponsor and be honest with them. Tell them you're not sure how this should go. I don't know. Does that person need to be in recovery too? My experience, it really helps. The family afterwards tells us that, you know, that's what ties us together. That's what binds us. Does it have to happen? Not necessarily. So that's what I mean. There's not necessarily hard, fast rules, but just don't put anything in front of your recovery. Don't make a human being your higher power. We're gonna disappoint you. We're gonna blow it. We're gonna make mistakes. We're gonna say stupid things. You know, things are gonna happen, and I can't rely on that to keep me sober. I can't afford to pick up a drink. I can't afford to pick up a drug. I will die. I know the way I drank and used. My husband today, he's amazing. He is the most calm person I've ever met in my life. I mean, he's just, it takes so much to get him angry. And I can still do that. I can poke when I want something. I want him to go my way. But you know what? He has no problem with telling me, you know what? I need a timeout, and when I need to talk to you, but not now. I'm too upset. And I give him that space to do that. But it's, you know, you grow in your recovery, you grow in your relationship. That's been my experience. I never judge anybody for what they decide to do. I've asked my sponsees not to elope. I've had a lot of them do that. I don't know why. But they all go to Vegas and then call me. You know, I think a lot of us are lonely. We've been alone even when we've been with other people for a very long time. And so it's really easy to reach out and fill that hole up inside. I believe you do damage to somebody else as well as yourself if you're not being honest about what you're looking for. And if you don't know, be honest about that. You know? I remember we had a woman in my home group, and this guy sponsored her, and then he married her, and I was like, oh my God. That must be against the rules somewhere, you know? It's not in the book, but, you know, it worked for them. I don't know. It just did. I wouldn't have thought so, but I guess don't judge. Don't judge. Be open, because sometimes we make a decision about things, or I have, and it's been nice to be able to go back and not have to save face and say, stay in a relationship or stay in a situation isn't good for me because I told you all that's what I was going to do. Or I didn't tell my sponsor and I expect to be judged, you know? I think it's really important. So remember, page 52 for me is where I was when I got here. Page 83 talks about, you know, being God-centered. It talks about being calm and at peace, connecting with the world, caring about others. I'm in a different place when I've worked my steps. I'm in a different place when I have a higher power, but it's not a human being. I don't think God meant any of us to be alone. And however that looks for you, for me for the first 8 years, it wasn't about being in a relationship. It was about having a very close family of recovering people to spend my time with and learn from. And I'm just so grateful to be asked to speak today. And I enjoyed everything you guys. And I'm so amazed by you guys getting sober so young. It just blows me away. I can't even imagine. So thank you for sharing your experience as well. And I'll pass.